Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Internet world. Welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and once again, I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy life to join me today on the broadcast. Today is Monday, June 7th, 2021, and in just 11 days, there will be another presidential election in Iran. But really, when you think about it, what good is this election going to be? Because first of all, if you know anything about Iran, there is no democratic elections in Iran like they are here in the United States, because in many ways the supreme leader is in charge of the man he wants to quote-unquote lead the nation. It's a stuffed ballot box. And Iranians are told they need to come out and vote, and if you resist, in many cases, well, you might be denied your government benefits. And so it's kind of a forced, stuffed ballot box, undemocratic election. But what I want to talk about this morning on The Cross in the Desert, from an article recently for the Center for Human Rights in Iran, the lead article title is Iran Election, Don't Ignore Ibrahim Raisi's Gross Rights Violations. So we need to take a look at the man who is running, the favored candidate, who more than likely will garnish the quote-unquote votes and be the next president of Iran. Now, the president is nothing more than a puppet to the supreme leader in so many ways. Everything that happens in Iran is really flows down from the office of the supreme leader. So what's the job of the president? Well, he's kind of a puppet, as I mentioned. He's a go-between. He's going to probably be the spokesperson when the Biden administration will once again join with Iran for another nuclear disaster deal. Take a look at the man who is running, the front runner, if you will. Iranian presidential candidate Ibrahim Raisi really should be investigated for crimes against humanity. That is according to the Center for Human Rights in Iran in a statement from June 3rd. Quote, Raisi is a pillar of a system that jails, tortures, and kills people for daring to criticize state policy, according to Chief Executive Hadi Ghaemi for the Center for Human Rights in Iran. Quote, Ghaemi says, instead of running for president, he should be tried in an impartial court and held accountable for his role in the extrajudicial execution of thousands of prisoners, Ghaemi added. Now, a little bit about this man's background. Appointed as Judiciary Chief by Supreme Leader Al-Khamenei back in March of 2019, Raisi has played key roles in the politically motivated executions and unjust imprisonments of countless Iranians. That's over the last three decades. Let's go back in time a little bit, 33 years. In 1988, Raisi was appointed to a four-man death committee by then Supreme Leader Ruhollah Khomeini, which paved the way for at least 4,500 or 5,000 prisoners to be executed and buried in unmarked mass and individual graves based on the committee's determination of their, quote, loyalty to the newly established Islamic Republic. These prisoners had already been tried and were serving their issued prison sentences. At that time, Grand Ayatollah Hussein Ali Montazeri, who was briefly the heir apparent to the Supreme Leader, condemned the killings, saying in a, quote, audio recording, "I believe this is the greatest crime committed in the Islamic Republic since the 1979 revolution, and history will condemn us for it. History will write you down as criminals." And this is according to the Grand Ayatollah. No one in Iran has ever been held accountable for these killings. Instead, state agents have harassed and threatened victims' relatives for demanding investigations and trying to locate their loved ones' remains, while the death committee members were appointed to various high-level government positions in the ensuing year. UN human rights experts call for accountability regarding the 1988 mass executions, which is a horrific blight of history. It's a dark period in Iranian history. "We are concerned the situation may amount to crimes against humanity," said the UN experts, adding that if the Iranian government continued to refuse to investigate those responsible for this mass execution, the international community should establish an international investigation. Now, Raisi's first 2 years as Judiciary Chief from 2019 to this year has been marked by intensified repression and rights violation. Now, I want you to hear the 2 years Raisi has been Judiciary Chief. Number one, executions. Here's what's happening. Iran is second only to China in absolute numbers of reported executions worldwide and was responsible for more than half in the Middle East and North Africa region. Iran remains among a small minority of countries that impose the death penalty against juvenile offenders. Protesters and dissidents were executed, including dissident Ruhollah Zam, who was abducted from Iraq. Non-Persian ethnic Iranians, including Arab, Baluch, and Kurdish political prisoners, continue to be disproportionately executed. And for the first time in the past two decades, a man was executed for just drinking alcohol. Executions continue to be routinely carried out after prosecution, lacking due process and trials that do not conform to international fair trial standards. Now, under persecution of religious minorities, Christian converts and Baha'i faith members continue to be arrested and sentenced to prison for their beliefs. Baha'is continue to be denied access to higher education. Now, there is a lack of accountability. State security forces killed at least 300 protesters and bystanders during mass street demonstrations in November 2019 with impunity. Well, my count was 1,500. But still, they shot them down. Excuse me, these were peaceful protesters. No high-level official has been held accountable for the Revolutionary Guard's downing of a passenger plane, which killed 176 people. And that was over a year ago. Interrogators continue to abuse prisoners with impunity. Torture, denial of medical treatment, and forced extractions of what we call false confessions. The mistreatment of political prisoners continues. People continue to be tried for peaceful activism. Political prisoners, particularly women, were subjected to harsher treatment, including physical and psychological torture, prolonged solitary confinement, forced confessions, denial of medical treatment, unlawful transfers to prisons far from their families. There is an assault in Iran on independent defense lawyers. Human rights-focused defense attorneys continue to be jailed and impeded from doing their jobs. Four human rights lawyers remained in prison, Nazreen Satuta being a prominent one that's still in prison. New regulations have been imposed to undermine the independence of the Iranian Bar Association. Now, again, another aspect under Iranian law is the detainment of dual nationals that are used as nothing more than political pawns. The long-held state policy of detaining dual and foreign nationals has continued with at least 15 dual nationals and one foreign national detained without due process. That's as of this month, including five elderly people with serious health conditions. Now, prior to his appointment as judiciary chief, Raisi, who is 60, held top judicial positions in Iran, including Tehran prosecutor, chief prosecutor for the clergy. He's also a member of the Assembly of Experts and the Expediency Council, Supreme Leader Khamenei has also appointed Raisi back in 2016 as custodian of the Astan Quds Razavi Religious Institution, the country's wealthiest charitable institution that is not required to disclose its financials and is run by officials and clerics that report only to the Supreme Leader. The fact that Raisi was essentially handpicked while almost all other candidates were disqualified reveals the boundless impunity of Iran's political establishment and its shameful exaltation of egregious rights violators. Now, Khamenei, the head of Iran Human Rights, goes on to say, this is not an election. It's a selection and an appointment, as I told you. Raisi has risen to the top of Iran's leadership by continuing the state's systematic rights violations with impunity, yet no title can absolve him of his crime. So as I've read this article, I point out to you the things that we can expect with this man if he's a new president. Nothing new. He's handpicked by the Supreme Leader. The continued torture and imprisonment of political prisoners, the continued execution, the continued denial of human rights will continue. And I call upon my Iranian friends to please don't vote. Please don't go out and vote. I know that you're forced in many ways. You're told you better vote or you won't receive your government benefits. But don't do anything to keep this evil regime in power. And we can only pray that very soon democracy and freedom will come to Iran. Now, I want to turn from this deadly situation in the presidential election to something with good news for us today. Here on The Cross in the Desert, I always talk about Iranian Christian refugees. I've been talking about those in Turkey here lately, and this is a miraculous answer to prayer. And I want to talk about an Iranian Christian convert, and you will recognize his name, but I want to tell you a little bit about him. This is from Article 18. This is a website in the UK that writes a lot about Christians in Iran, the persecution of Christians as political prisoners, as converts. I want to tell you some good news this morning. An Iranian Christian convert who was facing the threat of imminent deportation from Turkey has been granted protected status as a recognized refugee. Bayjan Hajihadi, who will celebrate his 49th birthday on Sunday, that's a good birthday present, was yesterday released after more than a month's detention in a camp in the southern Turkish city of Antalya, from which it was feared he would be forcibly flown back to Iran. But yesterday, the asylum seeker, Bayjan, was informed that he'd been granted protected status, and that was following his interview with immigration officials the day before. And this morning, he received his new identity card confirming his new status as a refugee. In coming to this decision, the Turkish immigration authorities stated, quote, that they recognize Bajan's life could be in danger were he to return to Iran. Well, obviously, he's a Christian convert. He would be in danger. Bajan has previously spent 9 months in prison because of his conversion to Christianity and subsequent membership of a house church, for which he was sentenced to 3 years in prison. He has been in Turkey since 2018, when he, his wife Marzia, and their 17-year-old son Sina, who is a paraplegic, they all applied for asylum with the UNHCR. They have been based in Dinzili. It's northwest of Antalya. But in December of 2019, Bajan was told that he was going to be deported because of an alleged failure to sign in at his local police station for 3 consecutive months. Now, Bajan, of course, denied these claims and even asked the officials to check the cameras on the dates that he attended. But they refused, and his 3 subsequent appeals were rejected, including most recently by Turkey's Supreme Court. A month after the deportation order, Bajan told the Iran Human Rights Documentation Center that he had only been released from prison on the condition that he never returned. He said, "You have to leave Iran or we will arrest you again," Bajan was told. "We know your family is in Turkey. We even know which city they're in. We know all of this. If you leave the country, you won't have a problem. But if you stay here in Iran and make a mistake, we will sentence you to prison many times over. Let this be a reminder. We accept your conditional release on these terms. Sign it." Well, in that same interview, Bajan said he was scared of what may happen to his wife and paraplegic son were he to be deported. For the last month, he has been separated from them. He had been fearing deportation any day. Now, good news, he can finally return home to be reunited with them and then celebrate his birthday together. And that was this past Sunday. I hope he had a great time. Now, there is a new challenge to all of this. Good news is he has a residency card, if you will. His family has been told, Bajan has been told, that he must make a 3-hour trip to Antalya every month to renew his refugee permit. But for now, he and his family are counting their blessings. Bajan and Marzia told Article 18 simply, "We want to thank all the people who have cared for us, at this difficult time, and praise God for them." I am just thrilled that this man and his family will be able to stay together now. He won't be deported back to Iran because, as a Christian, as he was told, you need to leave Iran or we're going to put you in prison. And you'll never get out, basically. Thank God that the government here understood the danger of his being deported back. Thank God that they allowed him to stay. Even though it's temporary, and even though he has to make a 3-hour trip every month to renew the refugee permit, thank God that he is at least safer there in Turkey. It's not really safe in Turkey, but safer in Turkey than certainly he would be in Iran. I want to just briefly mention, with the time I have left here, since I'm talking about Turkey, that there is a specific community center now in Turkey for Christian refugees, a place of healing. And I want to talk briefly about this. The name of a person in Turkey, his name is Karush, and he believes that converts fleeing fears persecution and imprisonment in their homeland. In other words, they're leaving Iran and they're coming to Turkey. They need a safe space to heal. And he has a vision for a building being constructed in Turkey's largest city. And it's a place for them to meet, to be safe. Karush is behind the construction. He's an Iranian refugee himself. He believes that this is a safe place that must be in Turkey. When he was in Iran, he grew up, of course, as a Muslim family, and he had an encounter with Christianity while he was in high school. And Kharoush became a leader of a house church, but of course he was arrested and tortured. And Kharoush talks about in this article with Christianity Today that he's astonished, of course, by the injustices he experienced in prison. He hadn't committed any crime to deserve this. He didn't murder anyone. He didn't steal anything. All he did was surrender his heart to Jesus. But Kharoush persevered. He saw no option but to leave his country after getting out of jail. Now, converts with a Muslim background constitute the largest group of Christians in Iran. Last year, at least 1,000 Christians, according to Open Doors researchers, were forced to leave the country for faith-related reasons. Now, especially the leaders of Christian convert groups who had been arrested and received long terms for alleged crimes, they needed a safe space in Turkey. There was at least 110 cases of Christians last year who were detained for faith-related activities, 44 cases of Christians sentenced to jail. And when you arrive in Turkey, there's a kind of fear, Kharoush says, mixed with sadness and confusion of why you're there, because you've lost everything, your job, your family, your country. And he has spoken out for Christian converts, and he said, we need a safe place, a place to feel at home again, a place to talk to people who speak their language, a place to share their story and read the Bible in peace. I am not the only one, Kharoush says. Finding such a place is one of the biggest challenges for any Iranian refugees. Now, with the help of Open Doors, Kharoush started creating that safe space for himself and others. There's a new community center in Turkey. It's a space for spiritual needs, a library full of Christian books in the native tongue of Farsi, a room for discipleship courses. This center is also a cafe for people to receive biblical counseling over a cup of Iranian tea, and distribution of relief items to Christians will also take place from this center. And while the builders of this center are still busy installing toilets and building walls, Kharoush is already counting the days until the center opens. I am already looking forward to what God is going to do there. This is fantastic, to have this safe haven for Christian converts who end up in Iraq as asylum seekers. And they have this to go through. So the Lord is doing amazing things among Christians in Turkey. And I praise God for this beautiful place where they can go and be at peace, maybe just for a few hours, and meet with other Christians and talk the same language, read the Bible together, have a cup of tea, be counseled. It's great, and I thank God for that. That is a blessing for the Christian refugees in Turkey. I want to just take a couple of minutes to feature a brand new song from Newsboys this morning. On the cross in the desert, this is called Magnetic. Let's listen.
As soon as I open my eyes, it's the same voice on the inside. Already so heavy, weighing on my soul. All the fear, all the worry, all the heartache, all the hurt. so deep. You're so patient and so gracious. It's unconditional. Even when I try to go my own way, even when my heart is in the wrong place, you bring it back around like a boomerang, just like a boomerang. Just every time I'm in that fight, your love keeps pulling me back, magnetic. I push away, but I can't escape. Your love keeps pulling me back, magnetic.
Brand new worship music from the Newsboys, something called Magnetic, speaking of God's unconditional love. Well, this morning on the Cross in the Desert, I have educated us on the upcoming presidential election. This is a man, Abraham Rassi, that is guilty of crimes against humanity, the biggest crime, with the 1988 massacre of political prisoners in Iran, just a dark, dark period in Iranian history. He must be held accountable. And I spoke about some good news with Bajan, the Christian convert, and his family in Turkey, that he has been granted status to now live in Turkey, and he's no longer being on the list to deport it back to Iran. This is all good news this morning. I want to thank you so much for spending some time with me. Please keep the Iranian people in your prayers for democracy and freedom as they will once again face another bogus presidential election with no relief from their suffering. Please continue to pray for Christian convert and his family, Bajan, that things will work out for him now that he is given status to stay in Turkey with his family. It has been a pleasure to meet with you this morning. It's always a pleasure to talk about my dear Iranian friends. They need our voices, and they constantly need our prayers. God bless you. I will see you again on Thursday on the Cross in the Desert.